You're listening to Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill gaming podcast. Here's your host, John Wall.
It's December 4th, 2025, and welcome to episode 160 of Midlife Side Quest, the over-the-hill video game podcast. I'm your host, John Wall, and every Thursday morning I bring you 15 minutes of video game impressions, the latest industry news, and tales of a Gen X geek. Thank you for tuning into the program today. I hope you all had a fantastic Thanksgiving holiday last week. If you were celebrating, I had a great time at the in-laws, stuffing my face full of their food and drinking their booze. It was a great time. On this week's show, I'm going to be talking about the game Ball Pit, but we start the day out by checking out some of the headlines from this past week. And today's news is coming from Rebecca Valentine at IGN. So, indie horror title Horses released this week despite an ongoing campaign to have the title banned by the majority of online retailers. Last week, developer Santa Region announced that Steam had made the decision not to sell the game on their platform for what it deemed to be objectionable content involving a minor. For their part, the developer says that the scene in question was part of an earlier build, but was not included in the final product, and they were denied the opportunity to resubmit the game, the final version of the game, for approval. Now, following that story, the Epic Games Store announced less than 24 hours before the scheduled release of the game that they too would be banning the game from their store, despite the fact that they had already approved the game weeks earlier. And as of this writing, Humble has pulled the game from their store as well, post-release, leaving, Itch as maybe the only major retailer offering up the game. So I haven't played the game myself. I may end up grabbing it purely out of curiosity at this point. So I can't really say firsthand, about that content, but I've read some impressions and reviews that have gone up, and from everything I've read, the game is absolutely disturbing and oftentimes upsetting, but never really crosses the line into anything that would be considered pornographic or illegal. And the story of a young man who goes to work on a farm and discovers that the horses there are actually enslaved naked humans with horse masks. That is clearly designed to push boundaries and be unsettling. But you know what? A lot of art is. That's just how it goes, whether you like it or not. Steam clearly has no problem platforming, games that are borderline pornographic on their store. You know, spend 30 seconds on there and you'll see dozens, if not hundreds, of examples. So this ban on horses seems to come not from it breaking their rules, but instead their own disdain for the subject matter, which is not something that you like to see from the biggest seller of PC games in the market. The vast majority of PC game sales are on Steam. I also have to wonder if there are some other forces maybe behind the scenes that are pushing for this game to get banned. It just seems odd that everybody's jumping on the bandwagon all of a sudden. It wouldn't be the first time that we've seen outside groups exert pressure on companies to ban art that they don't like. So we'll see if Itch holds their ground and keeps the game up on their store. And if I do end up maybe checking it out at some point, I'll give you my thoughts on an upcoming show. So So whenever an indie video game breaks out and becomes a smash hit, you can be sure that very soon you're going to see clones and copycats trying to ride the coattails of that success. And more often than not, these are, you know, usually cheap knockoffs who just copy and paste the formula. But sometimes you get a game that does it the right way by taking inspiration from those games and coming up with unique and interesting twists of their own. The recent Clover Pit, for example, did it recently by riffing off of Balatro. And Ball Pit does a good job of taking the fast-paced auto-shooting of Vampire Survivor and doing something cool and new with it. Think of Ball Pit as Vampire Survivor placed into the mold of Space Invaders with a little dash of ActRaiser, maybe? If you played Vampire Survivor, kind of the main gameplay hook is that you are always shooting automatically, and you just kind of aim, and as you kill enemies that are coming at you in a gauntlet style 2D level, you'll pick up and stack special attacks, which you can level up until you are an unstoppable killing machine shooting out powerful attacks in every direction. This game works much the same way, except the enemies are coming down at you in a vertical level, like Space Invaders, and your attacks bounce off of enemies and walls. So, like, kind of like a game of Breakout. If you launch a ball through a gap in the enemy's forces and into the back of the field, it can bounce around back there doing a bunch of damage to the enemies in the rear. So there's more strategy to where you shoot to rack up the most damage through ricochets. And you'll collect and upgrade your arsenal at a rapid pace. You know, you're leveling up every minute or two at least, and you'll get attacks like poison or bleed or lightning. And one of the very cool things that they do is that you'll eventually get the chance to combine those weapons into more powerful attacks. So say, for instance, you combine your poison attack with your laser beam, that turns into a radiation beam, which combines the elements of both attacks. It is quite a bit of fun to mix and match to find new combinations. There are also more passive items to equip, which give you things like, you know, health boosts or increased speed. One other interesting idea in Ball Pit is that in between each of the levels, you go to this overworld, and here you'll use the gold that you collect in the levels to build and upgrade this town. And you'll plant crops and trees and then harvest them for resources that you can use then to build buildings. And these buildings will do anything from giving you permanent stat boosts to unlocking new characters to play as during the other levels. And it's neat to see your tiny little town grow, but I do wish that there was a bit more personality or story behind what happens there. If there were like townsfolk who would talk to you on occasion or give you quests or become unhappy with, you know, whatever. Anything like that would have really helped to make this part of the game feel a little bit less of a grind. It just feels not completely fleshed out. Like I said, there are a lot of characters that you'll unlock in the game. And again, like Vampire Survivor, they all have different abilities, and you'll want to beat each level with as many of the characters as possible to really unlock everything. Each time you beat one of the levels with a new character, you'll earn a piece of gear, which then goes towards upgrading the lift itself that lowers you down into the earth where you play those levels. And upgrading that that lift is what unlocks new levels. So there is a lot of incentive to replay the levels over and over again with all of the different characters. I think what makes Ball Pit a lot of fun is the variety, honestly. All of the characters, you know, play differently, and with all the different weapons and items to unlock and combine and upgrade, you know, you're rarely going to play a round that feels like the one before it. And that keeps it feeling fresh as you progress through the game. The town building, you know, segments aren't quite as great as the rest of the game, and eventually I just kind of wanted to, you know, rush through them to get back to the action. But that action is quite a bit of fun, and it holds up the parts of the game that didn't quite work out as well. It's a fun time. Couple of things before we go this week. First of all, it is the holiday season now, and if you've been out shopping, I'm sure you've seen the Salvation Army out there with their bells and their kettles. They are one of the largest providers of social services in the world, and they raised almost $100 million last year through around the holidays for people dealing with poverty and economic hardship. There is no denying that they've done a lot of good with that money that they raise every year. Now, that being said, they are at their core a church, basically, a religious organization, and they have a well-documented history of lobbying against LGBTQ causes and rights over the years. In 2004, the Salvation Army threatened to close operations in New York City unless they were exempted from being required to offer benefits to their employees that were in same-sex relationships. In 2010, they published on their website what they that they called on individuals in same-sex relationships to practice celibacy. And in 2013, it was revealed that they were referring certain LGBTQ plus individuals to conversion therapy groups. So, not great. My point is that if you feel like you would like to donate your money to an organization that fully embraces the LGBTQ plus community, I have a few suggestions for you. First, True Colors United provides innovative solutions to youth homelessness and focuses on the unique experience of LGBTQ plus young people. My Friend's Place focuses on ensuring the physical, mental, social, and economic well-being of homeless youth in the LA area. And right here in the Twin Cities, Arise Project is the only organization creating one-of-a-kind grants that empower nonprofits to expand their services and programming to greater serve the needs of homeless LGBTQ plus youth. So there are some options, and no matter how you decide to give this holiday, if you donate, thank you. Also, last week, I drew the winner of our Riffmaster Wireless Guitar Controller giveaway, and Brian, who goes by Braves B Online, was the lucky winner. Congratulations to you, sir. I'm going to get that out in the mail probably tomorrow, I think, so look for it early next week. And big thanks to my friends at Turtle Beach for providing that awesome prize. They've always been super supportive of the show, and I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for listening to Midlife Side Quest. I appreciate you making time in your day to hang out with me. You can catch new episodes of the show every Thursday morning wherever you listen to podcasts, and you can support the show by subscribing and leaving a review. Until next time, have a great week, and for you board game fans, happy National Dice Day!